You're listening to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples.
You have tuned in to Open Mic on CJSF Radio, broadcasting from 90.1 FM from Burnaby Mountain, BC.
It is 10 a.m. on September 7th, 2025, 5 days after SFU welcomed its staff, faculty members, and students for the fall 2025 semester. Welcome to episode 35 of the Steve Chong Show in 2025, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. There will be another set of independent music, commentary on SFU athletics, feature on the Northwest League, report on the SFU Red Leafs hockey, updates on the Man Cup 2025, and the latest on the Surrey Police transition. First up is New Moon's opening with Awaken. That was Awaken from New Moon's opening. Next up is Naya Ali's We Did the Same Thing. The tune is actually. Next up is Naya Ali's We Did the Damn Thing. The tune is It's Us, Flowers to the Rain.
So we can do it. My niggas done did it. Then I rose, see some things life was forfeited. I was so lost in it. They bore our false witness. I'm trusting nobody.
To comment on SFU athletics at this time. Two Red Leaf teams kicked off their 2025 regular season on September 4th. First of all, the SFU men's soccer played to a 1-0 tie against Hawaii Pacific as the Sharks' Pedro Ashley opened the scoring at 18:24 on Jordan Thornton, but the Red Leafs' Alexander Hansen scored the equalizer at 78:26 as he eluded Oliver Ho, who made 5 saves on 6 shots for Hawaii Pacific, while Jordan Thorson stopped 6 of 7 shots for SFU at Westmont College in Santa Barbara, California, as part of the Westmont Heritage Club Classic. Later on, the Red Leafs volleyball swept away the St. Cloud State Huskies, ranked number 3. In three straight sets at the Burnaby Campus West Gym as part of the Western Washington Volleyball Invitational, where SFU was led by Natalie Lemoyne Sells with 12 kills, 6 blocks, and Davida Hill with 10 kills, an ace, a block. 2 games were on tap for September 5th. The Red Leafs volleyball bested the San Francisco State Gators 3-2 at Wake U Carver Gym in Bellingham, Washington. Later on, the Red Leafs women's soccer played to a scoreless tie against the University of California Merced Bobcats at Bobcat Field in Merced, California, as Sarah Lowen stopped all 5 shots for SFU, while Alicia Lippe faced just 1 shot for Merced. On September 6th, the Red Leafs men's soccer played to a 4-0 tie against the Westmont Warriors at Thorington Field in Santa Barbara, California. Westmont got on board just 1:22 into the game on a Serkan Dumatali, but SFU tied the game just 17 seconds later via Francesco Troisi. The Red Leafs went up 2-1 at 9:18 on a Kian Proctor strike, but the Warriors' Eric Guerrero tied the score at 11:27. SFU regained their one-goal lead at 20:58 per Michael Hennessy, which Westmont tied once again as Leonel Olivo-Ortiz tallied at 28:12, capping off a 6-goal first half. The Red Leafs won a 4-3 at 63:26 per Derek Abel, but the Warriors' Josh Ritzel's goal at 78:20 tied the game at 4 as Jordan Thorson surrendered 4 goals and 6 shots for SFU, while Mario Floriano yielded 4 goals and 6 shots for Westmont. Later on, the Red Leafs volleyball bested the Cal Poly Pomona Broncos, ranked number 11, 3-2 at Wake U Court at Carver Gym in Bellingham, as SFU finished 3-0 in the Western Washington Volleyball Invitational. There is one game today, as the Red Leafs women's soccer play Stanislaus State at Warrior Stadium in Turlock, California, with the kickoff at 12:30.
And now for a CJSF Heritage Minute. Simon Fraser University, the 1960s. In the earliest days of SFU, a renegade unlicensed radio station begins broadcasting around campus. 1974. Volunteers established the Simon Fraser Campus Radio Society, which operates CJSF to this day. 1985. The station obtains a cable license, bringing CJSF to a wider audience. And we've been changing the sound of radio in Burnaby ever since. And now for a CJSF Heritage Minute. During the 80s and the 90s, CJSF would come into its own as a serious platform for independent artists and a forum for people to express ideas not present in the mainstream media. Summer 2002, CJSF receives a license from the Canadian Radio Telecommunications Commission to broadcast over the FM airwaves. February 13th, 2003, 7 p.m. CJSF goes on air at 90.1 FM, and we've been changing the sound of radio in Burnaby ever since.
Now I'd like to feature the Northwest League at this time. It is a high A league, 3 levels below Major League Baseball. Just loading up the site here. Loading up the scoring page for the Northwest League. Just want to get this right. Three games were on tap for September 2nd. The Hillsborough Hawks exercised to host the Tri-City. Dust Devils 9-2, as the Hawks scored 4 runs in the first 4 innings. The Dust Devils scored 2 in the bottom of 9th. And Hillsborough had a 5-run barrage in the 9th against Tri-City at Giza Stadium in Pasco, Washington. The Eugene Emeralds thumped the visitors Spokane Indians 10-4 as the Emeralds grabbed a 5-4 lead against the Indians late, with 3 runs in the bottom of 7th, capped off by Jonah Cox's 2-run triple off Hunter Mann, the eventual winning hit, and Eugene followed with a 5-run assault in the 8th against Spokane, capped off by Jean Carlos Seals' 3-run jack off Alan Perdomo at PK Park in Eugene, Oregon. And the Everett Aqua Sox jumped on the host Vancouver Canadiens 8-1 as the Aqua Sox scored 3 runs in the top of 2nd, followed by a run in the 5th and 2 runs in each of 6th, 7th in Rogers Field at Nat Bailey in Vancouver, BC. There were 4 games on September 3rd, including a doubleheader, where Spokane played Eugene 7 innings each. The host Emeralds swept the Indians 4-1 in Game 1 and 4-0 in game 2, highlighted by Eugene's 3-run rally in the bottom of 4th in game 2. As Spokane scored just once in 14 innings over 2 games. Meanwhile, Hillsboro jumped ahead with 3 runs in the top of 1st, to which Tri-City responded with 2 runs in the bottom half, started by Anthony Scull's solo shot off David Hegeman and tied in the 6th on Mitchell Daly's solo smash off Lorenzo Encarnacion. While the Dust Devils regained a lead in the 7th with a run, the Hawks scored 2 runs in the bottom half, the last of which was a Peter Burns 1-run single that played a Randy DeJesus off Teofilo Mendez and tacked on one more run in the 8th to win 8-6. Just a minute. So, to repeat, while the Dust Devils regained a lead in the 7th with a run, the Hawks scored 2 runs in the bottom half, the last of which was a Peter Burns 1-run single that played at Randy DeJesus of Teofilo Mendez and tacked on one more run in the 8th to win 6-4. In the 4th game, Vancouver got on board with 2 runs in the bottom of 1st. To which Everett responded with a run in the 4th on Charlie Pegolarini's solo shot off Silvano Hecavarria, followed by another run in the 5th for a 2-2 tie. But the Canadians doubled their lead on the Echo Sox in the bottom half as Cutter Coffey hit a 2-run jack off Casey Hintz for a 4-2 lead, followed by Sean Key's solo smash in the 6th off William Fleming. And Edward Duran hit a 3-run launch off Brock Moore as Vancouver thrashed Everett 8-2. On September 4th, Eugene blanked Spokane 3-0, highlighted by the Emeralds' 2-run rally in the bottom of 1st against the Indians. Hillsboro and Tri-City engaged in a back-and-forth affair as the Dust Devils got on board in the bottom of 1st. As the Dust Devils got on board in the bottom of 2nd, courtesy of on Randy DeJesus solo shot off Danny Larondo, but the Hawks scored 2 runs in the 4th for a 2-1 lead, right after which Tri-City went up 3-2 in the bottom half, courtesy of Juan Flores 2-run jack, also off Danny Larondo, and 3 more runs in the 5th en route to a 7-4 win over Hillsboro. In the 3rd game, Vancouver scored 2 runs in the bottom of 1st to a 2-0 lead. Both sides scored a run in the 5th and ever closed the gap to 3-2 in the top of 8th. However, the Canadians had a 3-run rally in the bottom half, started by Sean Key's solo home run, followed by Peyton Powell's 2-run single, all of Aqua Sox Jose Girardo, and Vancouver tripled up Everett 6-2. On September 5th, Everett quad-damaged Vancouver 4-1, highlighted by the Aqua Sox 3-run rally in the top of 5th, capped off by Ty Peet's 2-run launch off Jonathan Todd, and hit another home run in the 7th as Colin Davis hit a solo shot off Julio Ortiz. The Canadians got on board in the 8th on Sean Key's solo blast off Lucas Kelly, but it was too little too late in Everett's 4-1 win over Vancouver. And the 3rd game between Hillsboro and Tri-City was canceled as the Angels prospect Rio Foster is in critical condition after a car accident in the morning. Two games were on tap for September 6th. Hillsboro blanked Tri-City 4-0 as the Hawks scored 2 runs in each of the top of 6th and 8th against the Dust Devils. And Vancouver sextupled Everett 6-1 as the Canadians scored 3 runs in each of the bottom of third. Fourth, where Carter Cunningham launched a 3-run jack off Jacob Denner. Three games are on tap today. Ebert continues in Vancouver, which yours truly plans to attend. Spokane renews in Eugene, both starting at 105. And Everett resumes in Pasco against Tri-City at 135.
CJSF is looking for new volunteers to come in and make radio. No experience is necessary. You can learn to DJ, edit sound, produce news, make posters, and host your own show. Come out to a weekly station orientation to get involved. Orientation times can be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
Here are the current standings in the Northwest League, which is in its final day for 2025. The Eugene Emeralds, an affiliate for the San Francisco Giants, clinched the second half with a dominating 48-17 record and have won 5 in a row. The Vancouver Canadiens, an affiliate for the Toronto Blue Jays, are second at 38-27. So the Eugene Emeralds, who won the second half, are an affiliate for the San Francisco Giants, while the Vancouver Canadiens are an affiliate for the Toronto Blue Jays. And the rest, the Tri-City Dust Devils, an affiliate for the Los Angeles Angels, are third at 31-33. The Spokane Indians, an affiliate for the Colorado Rockies, are fourth at 29-36. And have dropped 8 in a row. The Hillsboro Hops, an affiliate for the Arizona Diamondbacks, are fifth at 26-38. And the Everett Aqua Sox, an affiliate for the Seattle Mariners, the first half division winner, are dead last at 22-43. I think there is a strong argument to be made that the Northwest League should abandon Helps for the next season, because the Everett Aqua Sox, the first half division winner, are struggling mightily overall at 59-72. While the Vancouver Canadiens are 75-56, therefore the second best team overall, but will not be playing the playoffs because they will not be division winners for the second half. The Eugene Emeralds, the second half division winner, are first at 80-51. But that is a discussion for the Northwest League and their executives to decide over the off season.
If you're a regular listener of this show or other shows on CJSF, we'd love to hear from you. Tell us about what you like and why you like it, as well as ways we can improve our programming. To leave comments, please email cjsfprog@sfu.ca or call 778-782-4423. This information can also be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
Welcome back. The third act is Nanami Haruta's The Vive. Just a minute, please. With Easy Money. We'll be right back. Welcome to the second half of episode 35 in the 2025 Steve Chong Show, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. There will be more independent music, report on the SFU Red Leafs hockey, updates on the Man Cup 2025, and the latest on the Surrey Police transition. First up in the second half is the fourth band of the hour. Now guys, back to my roots. Live in a better way.